Jess, should I say half a pound?
Half a pound?
Half a pound.
Oh, did you say have a pound?
Yeah, no. I said, should I say half a pound?
Laguna Beach, Season 1, Episode 2, The Bonfire. This is a movement.
This is Coming Clean, a podcast about the real Orange County, with your hosts, Sam and Marty.
Hey, welcome to the Coming Clean podcast. I'm Marty.
And I'm Sam.
How are you doing there, buddy?
Doing pretty well. There's a lot of big news going on flowing in this new 2017.
There sure is. And you know what? We should jump right in. And the first one is a pretty big announcement.
It's astounding. It brought, joy and happiness to my heart.
Yeah, it was very happy, but at the same time, kind of broke my heart a little bit.
Why is that?
Because one of our favorite characters and our main character, LC, is expecting her first child.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and, that might kill if I ever had any chance, but I probably not didn't. I probably not. Never mind.
No, yeah, at this point, yeah, it's been killed.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
No
yeah.
shot.
But Mazel. Mazel tov,
Mazel
LC.
tov.
Congrats. Yeah, big news for her.
Yeah, I think, did this happen on New Year's Day?
I think she announced it either on New Year's Day or January 2nd, but it was a nice little Instagram photo where she made the big announcement.
Yeah, with the image of the sonogram and everything, it was
Yeah,
precious.
very, very sweet, very sweet. And I think it really drives home how far removed we are from the show, and they were just incoming seniors then.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look up how old Elsie was, and
31.
She's only 30. I mean, she's 30 years old.
Man,
Time flies.
we're getting up there, but I don't know if I feel bad, but at least for the purposes of this podcast, LC, once again, sort of taking precedent over Kristen, who also has some pretty big news. Well, not big news, but also celebrating, and it's her 30th birthday.
January 5th, the day we're recording this.
Yes, so, Kristen,
happy birthday.
Yeah, mazel tov to you too. Congratulations on turning 30, and she has a beautiful family with her. So,
I believe two kids.
Yep.
Two little cutlets.
Yep, the baby cutlets.
Yep.
And we'll see if they'll stay in Chicago for much longer.
Yeah, I don't think I could see them moving.
Yeah, they definitely. Yeah, it's not looking good, but, this isn't a sports podcast.
No.
But anyway, congratulations to LC and Kristen kicking off 2017 on a pretty happy note.
Yeah, we're looking up from here.
I am kind of upset that LC's pregnant, though.
Just depressing.
Yeah.
It's just the way life goes. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. They get pregnant.
Who's her husband again?
Oh, actually, her husband is William Tell.
Oh, right.
So,
yes.
Very confusing with the guy who shot the apple off somebody's head.
Right. Ugh, lucky guy. But also, I actually like him as an artist. All right, so I think this is a good time to take a little break, and we'll dive into the rest of the episode after this song.
On the road, another day, another night, another show. Oh, people come, then they go. But I ain't gotta worry about it, cause I know. When I see you looking, baby, you got me going crazy. You got the kind of thing that make my heart go whoa. You got me feeling alright when we can go.
All right, welcome back to the Coming Clean podcast. That was a little sample from our featured artist, Todd Carey. All right, so is it time to dive in?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get our feet a little wet this time.
All right.
And start off with a synopsis from the DVD.
All right, let's do it.
And here we go. A double date dinner turns from bad to worse when Steven gets jealous about phone calls Kristen is receiving from another guy. Elsie and Lo drop in on Trey's AYA open mic night, and the whole gang gathers for a bonfire on the beach where things heat up between Elsie, Steven, and Kristen. So, Marty, how do you feel on that?
Man, that description was just sort of as all over the place as last week's, but in the words of the great Stefan, this has everything.
It truly does. After reading that, I probably don't even have to watch the episode.
Oh yeah, it really sets it up nicely. We have some drama there. We know we're gonna get some cool tunes. Elsie and Lo, a Trey party again.
Yeah, whenever Trey's involved, I'm on board. I'm on the Trey train.
Oh, so am I, and I think Polster's the conductor there.
I mean, he's the ringleader.
Yeah, but let's save that for the next segment, because we have a whole discussion about our boy Trey.
True.
But yeah, I mean, I see Bonfire, and I know Laguna Beach, and that just equals fun to me, so I'm really excited to talk about this episode, and compared to the first one, I think this was, you know, the storylines aren't as fast-paced as the first episode, when I guess we had to be introduced to everyone and their situation, but I think this episode was a nice transition episode to carry things along and set up some more drama.
I might have to disagree with you on this one.
Go ahead.
I thought the whole episode was pretty lackluster.
Okay.
I felt myself kind of plodding along the first watch through. I wasn't really, my full attention wasn't on it. I don't think it started off very strong. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it does pick up a little halfway through and near the end, but it just didn't have the punch that I was kind of hoping for. You know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's definitely not all action, but I definitely enjoyed, I don't know, just, I think I got to get to know them a little better this time, and we got to see their day-to-day, as opposed to before. I think we even saw, like, Lauren coming home from school or something, right?
Yeah, I was trying to read the sign. I think it was, like, a science building or something, you know, leaving school and then her going to work. Just pretty, you know, I'm glad, like we said before, glad to see that Lauren had a job.
Yeah, props to Lauren, too, for having a job. So that's
good
stuff.
I mean, I knew Steven always had one, but I forgot Lauren. I didn't think about it back then, you know. That's some props to, you know, be out in the working force.
Yeah, especially considering we saw her house last week and how amazing that was.
Yeah, she probably doesn't have to be working at all, but, you know, some core values are being distributed in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, I think that's why she has a pretty good head on her shoulders, so props once again to Elsie.
Yeah, so, I mean, anything else kind of stuck out for you?
I think we can dive into those in some burning topics that we're going to talk about here on this segment. Starting off with a topic that I would like to call, what's the deal with Kristen and Steven? Which is pretty direct, right? And I think this is going to be something that we're going to be talking about on a weekly basis. But on this episode in particular, I think we're seeing some depth to this relationship.
Yeah, and I think depth, you just mean hateful rage and like constant fighting.
I think last week you were saying that Steven is clearly the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he was sort of being nasty last week and sort of conniving with the whole lying about being with LC situation. But this week, I don't know, I felt like he was trying to be really nice to Kristen by taking her out on a surf lesson, which didn't it cost like $85 a session based on last week's call when someone called him at the surf shop. But, you know, he takes her out surfing and she was sort of moody there and she wasn't having fun and she made him know it. I thought she was being nice by cooking the dinner, and he was being nice by eating what ended up being bad pasta. And
yeah, that looked like hot garbage.
I mean, it's pasta and sauce, right? It was supposed to be Alfredo sauce or something.
Yeah, but they said it, I think they said it tasted like feet.
Yeah.
But to Jess's point of view, that the chicken and the pasta tasted good.
Yeah.
But everything was covered in the sauce, so you kind of lost out.
Yeah, and I thought that was, I'm giving props to Steven here, because those scenes, he was housing that pasta, even though he didn't like it, he was being really nice and eating the whole thing. I don't know if he was just being super hungry or he was just being very nice.
I mean, he wanted Jack in a Box. Probably. Right. I mean, he was being the good boyfriend and, like, persevering, eating the, you know, at least trying it. Not, he didn't complain too much. It was mostly Dieter's fault, and I think
right.
Dieter and Jess probably have been going out longer.
Yeah, and to that point, Steven was trying to be the nice boyfriend, and how does he get repaid by Kristen? By answering the phone, right, with this other guy.
Well, that's not necessarily Kristen's fault, per se. I'm not on Kristen's side, because I think she was really mean through this almost whole episode.
Right.
But that whole phone call, like, did they not have put your phone on vibrate back in like the early 2000s on like flip phones? Do they not have that option? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they did, because in high school, whenever we were in school, it was just on vibrate, right?
Yeah. And the person who's calling, this Sam character, who they bring in another, now we're on like, what are this, like a possible love hexagon or something.
Right. However many they are.
I mean, they made it seem like he kept calling and calling over and over again.
Right.
Bit needy, I mean, needy much?
Yeah. And I mean, in terms of sort of balancing the effort being given here, like we said, Steven was sort of giving this effort to be nice to Kristen. And obviously you would be annoyed when you have a double date and you're trying to have a quiet night in and your phone's ringing. It is sort of rude. And at first she didn't answer it, which I thought was cool. And then she answered it. And I was expecting that she was going to be like, hey, I'm at dinner, let me call you back. But she has a full conversation with the Sam character, and I'm kind of upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just poor manners right there.
Yeah, it's rude in any setting, double date, family setting, but yeah, definitely left a bad taste in my mouth, pun maybe intended, with what Kristen did there, and she did not paint a good picture of herself.
No, and then you see it again at the end of the episode.
Right.
Which we'll probably get into a little bit more, but Kristen, they're just always fighting it. And then once again, she answered her phone for the Sam character. So, I mean, pretty suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trusting it. And I kind of want to just see the relationship end.
Right.
Just so we don't have to deal with it and we get like a little more other character development, because they're kind of probably the center of the show with this drama. But just like, I'm like, come on guys, it's just get over it. Dump each other. You're not meant to be like, move on, stop fighting. You guys can't be together.
Sound advice from the curmudgeon-y old men who are watching high school kids go through high school things.
Well, I'm like the guy, I'm like Steven's coworker.
JD?
Yeah, JD, where he's like, do you feel happy juggling like these two women?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to throw out some good advice.
Right. JD had his back this week.
Yeah, and he was eating whatever that lightsaber was.
Another
jealous of JD.
Another point I wanted to make about this particular relationship was, I mean, Steven was sort of making that effort and Kristen was being rude. I just cannot quite wrap my head around Kristen's logic on why Steven was pissing her off, because she said he's angry whenever she's not all over him. But at least based on what we're seeing on screen, I think he had a pretty valid reason to be upset with her. She was cranky when he took her surfing, and mm-hmm. she was taking calls over dinner.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with that. Hopefully in future episodes, we'll see a little more of, like, a little more Steven attitude, because he hasn't really given it. He's been on the defensive a lot.
Right.
I want to see a little more, you know, fight back or some pizzazz out of Steven. He's been defensive or very, very shady altogether.
Yes, that's a great point, and I'm going to piggyback off that, because I was going to say, I mean, his quietness may be mistaken for shadiness, because we all know that he has Lauren on speed dial as well, or Elsie. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if he had a look in his phone, but when he called her, he seemed like he knew the number pretty well.
Yeah, so a lot of shady business going around at all ends, but I don't know who to trust at this point. And as far as their relationship goes, I mean, two episodes in, I 100% agree with you. They should just nip this in the bud. Man, all right, a lot to think about, and a lot to speculate on coming for next week, when hopefully we see this Sam character, who I'm not a big fan of already.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've been talking about this on and off, and you've been hyping up a big revelation.
The big revelation is I will eat some humble pie today, tonight, on this episode. Last week, I had alluded to this character called Morgan, and I said my only note about her was that she seemed annoying. And for those contributing to Patreon, when we get into the bonus episode there, where we talk about each character in depth, which you can access by being a patron of ours on patreon.com/comingcleanpod for as little as $3 a month, you get all this bonus footage or episodes, but including my rant about how I thought that Morgan was just that annoying friend that you just had to have. And I didn't like her. She did not give the best first impression. And like I said, I'm going to eat some humble pie right now. And Morgan, I apologize. And
are you just apologizing that you're very mean to her? Yes. Probably hurt her feelings.
I did. I'm pretty sure I did. And I take back what I said.
Hold on. Before you start your whole apology.
Okay.
Morgan, mm-hmm. if you're listening,
yes, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, and please subscribe.
Yes.
And here's your official apology from Marty. Yes. Go take it away.
Thank you. Morgan, I know I said you were very annoying, and that was your only role in the group, but I was wrong. I mistook you as this super naive, overexcitable, just shell of a character that we see on every TV show. But on this episode, you showed a lot of depth. You showed that you probably have the best head on anyone's shoulders. You showed that you had the best character. You may not be the best character, but you might have the best character of them all. And just your proclamation of wanting to leave Laguna Beach because you have standards and you wanted to escape just this party scene that Laguna Beach had to offer. I may not agree with your ideals, but I can damn sure respect that. And I respect you, Morgan, so I apologize. I'm sorry you didn't get into BYU. And for future reference, kids who are listening here, if you get just like a one-page letter from a college admissions representative, you're probably not getting into that school. Was that a good one? Was that good enough? I'm sorry I had to be snarky at the end, but that just sort of annoyed me.
Oh, God, that was beautiful. We've already dipped in them before, and we're dipping in again. Mm-hmm. The whole idea that, yeah, like right when I saw her and she had like a little envelope, I was like, oh, that's a retraction letter. Like, and like, didn't Christina say, like, Christina, you just got accepted to SMU.
Right.
And then you are with your friend, like, on a beach, picked her up, and she's carrying just a little, like, one piece of paper letter. Like, you know,
right.
Most college, like, acceptance letters come in with, like, a big package, the book, maybe, like, a shirt or something.
Yep.
I mean, like, you had to know when you were going out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she just thought that BYU had a different style, but yeah, I'm pretty...
I think at this time BYU was going green, they could have sent something else.
I mean, even my high school counselor told us that if you get a small envelope, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, and then I have two more things.
Okay.
One, Christina was saying she gave the standard when somebody comes to you with like, I don't know, bad news, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, I know how you feel.
Right.
Well, Christina got into college, so she doesn't know how she feels of having no future and not going anywhere.
True. Because if I'm not mistaken, Morgan put all her eggs in the BYU basket. Am I right?
Yeah. And then my second point was, you know what? I'm going to have to say, agree with you, is good for you, Morgan, for going up there and knowing you want to be in that area and with people like-minded as you up. I mean, I think Morgan may be Mormon, which might, you know, it's possibly what it seems that kind of fits her more ideals, as you said, and BYU is the place for that. So I commend you. Applause all around.
There you go. We'll add some more applause on post so it looks like there's more than two of us. But yes, yep. Big props to Morgan there. And the line I think that got me, and this is, I guess, a preview, or I mean, this is going to end up being my favorite quote, was when she said, when she was talking about getting out of the bubble, but also I think she showed some great maturity in talking about how she hates how kids in Laguna Beach screw up on their parents' money. And
yes,
if she's going to BYU, her parents are probably pretty well off. And obviously she lives in an area where people are pretty well off. And just to have that self-awareness, Morgan, again, mazel, not mazel, sorry. Congrats, but yeah. I'm a fan now, but I mean, next week that could change depending on how you act. But for now, you have my respect. And again, I apologize. Now that I have that off my chest, I want to call this next little segment and topic, how cool is Trey?
I said this when in our first episode zero that Trey was my favorite, but I don't think I had the knowledge and I couldn't really remember why Trey was my favorite. Mm-hmm. But the past two episodes, I think, have solidified that for me. One, he's a hard worker. He's hustling out there trying to the A for a AYA. Good cause.
Yep,
AYA for a good cause. He's calling random people, like his phone's dying, he's just working trying to get somebody signed up. Mm-hmm. His style was on point. He had awesome hats, more pop collar.
Yeah, I was gonna say pop collars, the striped shirt under the pop collar button down.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then even at the end, he's got like five. He was talking about pranks at the end. Mm-hmm. He had like five. He said he had five pranks he's working on. Like, I don't think I've worked on one prank before.
Yeah, he's definitely the entrepreneur of the group, and I mean, already off to a good start doing some charity work and also showcasing the local talents that Laguna Beach has. To that point, I'm Googling Active Young America right now, and unfortunately I'm not seeing anything
Oh, maybe he was just trying. Maybe it's not a real organization. Maybe
Trey's hustling us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on this IMDb biography, it looks like it was his own nonprofit, which again makes him even cooler. Even though it maybe didn't last, he was doing something, and for a high school student, not bad. Anyway, we digress.
Even though Trey is the coolest, who might be the coolest of the Ests is Polster.
Yep. Man, Polster, one scene in this entire episode. Or no, one or two scenes. Two scenes on this entire episode. The passion.
He stole this whole episode from me.
Really?
I was not expecting him to be in this episode. I think he was just going to be like a one-and-done, you know, first episode guy, like bringing a party guy, whatever, move on.
Mm-hmm.
He came out of nowhere at Trey's party. You know, he was up there front and center.
Yep.
He had a great quote where he was saying, like that, well, in terms of AYA, this is not an organization. AYA is a movement. This is a movement. He even references it similar to women's liberation and the civil rights. With a big giant party woo at the end. How can you not get up for that and get active youth of America rocking?
Yeah, I was hyped up for Polster's passion. And yeah, I mean, Trey and Polster are really coming out as being sort of the, not even normal, even as an average person, they were overachieving, really, in the best way.
Yeah, Polster, if you're listening, please come hang out with us.
But before we move on, can I just mention, based on last week's episode, the two parties, well, there were technically three party get-together things that happened, and I think the law of Polster is holding true, because the two party scenes that included Polster looked lit, and the one get-together, the disastrous dinner with the double date, had no Polster, and it was awful. So, yeah. Polster's presence.
Polster's presence is 100%, and it's the law of Polster.
It's the law of Polster. You heard it here first. The law of Polster. All right, so moving on from these two guys, let's talk about LC and Steven a little bit, because they had some alone time on this episode as well.
Yeah. You know, it kind of, it made me happy and think back to like high school when, you know, you don't know your future. You're still hanging out with some of the high school friends, and you kind of just hanging out, talking about, you know, the past, thinking back like, oh, like the things I could have done these past 4 years, or like what could have been, should have been, not realizing that you have probably another, what is that, like 70 years of your life until, like, to make new memories, and probably better experiences are going to happen. But just at this one point in time, LC and Steven on the beach, possibly drinking. We didn't see any alcohol, but
yep.
Could be a little inebriated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just being friends, reminiscing, and, you know, showing maybe their true emotions. Something that,
yeah,
that could happen. And Elsie's saying she didn't regret, she used to regret it, but now she doesn't. And that her and Steven, she kind of left the door open for him.
Right.
But at the same time, kind of being polite and not making advances, just saying like, you know, we could have something together if you want to try for it.
Right. Which could also be good and bad, but I think in this context, we all know that there are feelings between them, but you know, if you're just Steven and being on the receiving end of that, that could definitely work either way. But yeah, I wanted to bring up the point that you just see the differences in the conversations that Steven and LC are having, and Steven and Kristen, I don't know, again, maybe this is giving too much or not enough credit to the editing team or Kristen and Steven themselves, but their conversations seem super shallow, or it's an argument.
Yep.
Meanwhile, LC and Steven, they're actually talking about real stuff, and sure, it's a benefit of them growing up together and being friends for a long time, but there's a huge contrast with how Steven talks to each one of them.
Yeah, it was just so sweet. And this is a slight tangent, but there's okay. I have one pick or kind of one issue with the whole scene mm-hmm. was when Steven and Elsie are having this like wonderful moment and we're looking at Steven in the back of his head and we see Lauren.
Right.
Like one person away.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen's sitting right there.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And she definitely could hear everything.
Right.
I could sit like five people away from it. I can still hear somebody's full on conversation at like a party.
Right.
So is this the editing or is it like I don't know. Did they just not care? They were just so wrapped in their possible love for each other that, or either that or maybe Kristen was just over it. She didn't care anymore.
I mean, that's what she told Sam, right? At the end.
Yeah, she gave up.
Yeah, so it's tough to say when they're showing scenes like that if, I don't know, is this drama as big as we're expecting? Or if it's, like, not a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Kristen and Steven had kind of agreement where it's like, all right, we're, like, together, but I don't know. I doubt that, actually. I'm rescinding that whole everything I just...
But yeah, it's definitely bringing up a lot more questions, and hopefully we get to see these resolved in the coming episodes.
Yeah. The hope is real. At this point, I want to see Steven and Elsie get together. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what actually happens.
Right.
But, you know, I just, for the sake of the show and for the sake of my heart, it's like... I think I still want Steven and Elsie to get back together.
Well, ship has sailed on that one, I think, but...
Well, you know, this is the 90s. Anything can happen.
Another thing I wanted to bring up before we move on here is the Elsie and Steven sort of dynamic. I don't know if I'm rooting for them, because...
Why not?
Because I'm... Right now, I'm all in on Elsie. I'm like, way to go. Keep going.
Yep. Me too.
Steven, I'm still not sure. So this is just me being protective of Elsie, I think.
Yeah, we don't want to see her get hurt. We've seen her already get hurt.
But yeah, I'm not convinced by Steven yet, but yeah. I just want the best for Elsie.
Yeah, I mean, we can only hope that he kind of gets out of his funk and realizes, but... I mean, he's kind of so far up in the sky that he doesn't care.
Right. I mean, I'm guessing from his perspective, he's sort of in a win-win situation right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, can't be hurt.
Yeah. But I think that's all I have between Elsie and Steven. All right. So anything else from the episode that we have not discussed yet?
Just a couple of lighthearted notes, I think.
Okay.
Feta cheese might be my new favorite cheese.
Feta cheese. Do boys even like that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like feta. I like feta cheese, but feta is too much for me. You know?
Feta cheese in your pasta?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't see the cheese, but like... I think if they didn't go with the Alfredo, it would have been really nice with the feta cheese in there. Maybe like a nice like olive oil.
Right, but if it was just chicken, olive oil, and the pasta.
And then change it to orzo.
Right.
Have a nice little Greek orzo salad.
Yeah, I had issues with the dinner that they served. I mean, it's pretty basic high school get-together a pinch. But, I mean, who goes with Alfredo sauce in a double date? That's just really heavy.
Oh my god, yeah. Vomit City.
And it looks like they were close to that anyway.
And they went to this Wild Oats, and I'm like, now I gotta look up Wild Oats and see if it's a pre-Whole Foods.
Possibly.
It was like an all-organic store.
Right.
Maybe it's, you know, we saw the evolution of Whole Foods.
True. Oh, it's Affordable Food Solutions for Better Living is what their website says.
Sounds so good. That's such a California thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they look like a Whole Foods. Even their logo looks like Whole Foods, so.
Yeah.
Wild Oats, if you want to sponsor us, we're right here.
We take all sponsors.
So, anything else that you thought was interesting? I have, I think, one thing. I don't know if you'll like it or not, though.
And should I? Yeah. Before you disappoint me, do I?
Okay. Dad?
Father? Dad, I don't know if I'm going to disappoint you, or we might be on the same page at this time.
Okay.
It's happened before.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out there, low, not great sound effects.
Holy crap. That's literally exactly what I was going to talk about.
Yeah, terrible friend.
Yes.
Terrible.
Awful.
Like, she always stayed for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't like hippie band music, like, just stay. It's for Trey, right. Who's probably the nicest guy there.
Yep.
And Polster's there. It's a party. Like, right. Just chill. I mean, you couldn't get a seat.
Good cause.
Fine. Yeah, you couldn't get a seat, but, like, why rush out, you know?
Yeah, and it's not like they still... LC at least made the effort to stand there and try to watch stuff. At least when they were talking. She just bolted out.
Yeah, I think even LC was like, oh, I felt bad, like, leaving. Like, we should have at least stayed a little longer. Like, LC, nice, great person. Solidified that for me after that episode, after that scene. But yeah, Lo, you're gonna have to try a little harder for me.
I know. All the memories of Lo and all your hype of Lo, because I know she was your favorite female character.
Yeah, she was always so nice. Yeah. I don't know what happened.
I was very disappointed in her today, and I'm glad I'm not disappointing you, and you made my point for me.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I took that from you, but I'm glad we shared that bond.
Yes. I'm glad you had to say it so I didn't have to.
Yeah, it hurt me.
Yeah, but Lo, we still have faith in you. This is only episode 2. Hopefully you're a better friend next time.
We believe.
All right, cool. So I will try to calm myself down from my disappointment of Lo. So this is probably a good time to take a break, and we'll... do some deep dives.
Come on over here and turn your lights down low. Light her up. Every time I see that girl, I wanna light her up.
Alright, and welcome back. Special thanks again to Todd Carey for that awesome track.
One of my favorites.
Alright, so we did a little bit of this last week, and we're gonna keep this ball rolling. Let's talk fashion for a second, and is there anything that you want to call out that you saw that was cool, extra cool, or surprising for you?
Yeah, I have two things.
Okay.
The first one is, was this where we kind of got the whole fad of oversized sunglasses? Or even that it was just during this time was kind of oversized sunglasses. I don't think they're as big as they used to be.
Right.
But everything was oversized or, like, low-rise.
Right, because this is, I think, at least for the sunglasses, this might have been, was this the Paris Hilton era?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close, if not just after.
Right,
you know,
so.
Around that similar time.
Yeah, so Simple Life and stuff, probably.
Yeah, and then my second thing was, which is pretty amazing to see, this kind of comeback into fashion.
Oh, I think
in 2016, 2017
uh-huh.
is Kristen was wearing a choker.
Yep.
At the dinner party.
Yep.
And now chokers are very much in, and even now men can wear chokers because Matt Lauer was wearing one the other day. So
is Matt Lauer really the barometer for men's fashion right now?
I mean, if how does any fashion get started? You know. One person wears something, it might get picked up.
I was hoping more for either a Lester Holt or a Al Roker.
Yeah, no, they're not. I don't think they're going down that road.
At least Willie Geist. Give me Geist.
Yeah, give us some more youth.
But yeah, that was exactly what mine was, the choker, and that is making a comeback, so hey, we're back in fashion.
Good on ya.
All right, This next one is a little bit newer, and it was something that I noticed over the episode that they had some pretty good use of metaphors here. So was there anything that stuck out to you in terms of their metaphor speaking here?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great new little segment because they really, maybe we have to expand it a little bit, maybe to like some sexual innuendos or something like that. Yeah. So going back to the dinner scene, when Jess was making the heart-shaped Whole Foods or Wild Oats cake, organic cake, at the end, we get the nice little shot of it, and Dieter asks, like, oh, what, or Steven asks, like, what should we do with it? And Steven's like, oh, wrap it up. And then Dieter's like, no, just throw it away.
Yep.
And that kind of reflects maybe to Steven and Kristen's relationship.
Yeah.
He's still trying to, should we keep it tight for safer keeping? And Dieter's like, nah, just get it out of here.
Right.
I think that's what we all kind of hope for this.
Yeah, that was what,
like, the fighting.
Yeah, I think that's what we were all thinking, and you alluded to this earlier, that they should probably just end it now. Starting with an uncooked heart cake.
Yeah, that thing looked gross. Like,
no frosting.
It was brown, jiggly, and yeah, like, what are you, no frosting? Like,
yeah, were they just going to eat, like, a plain white cake?
I hope not.
Well, it was a mess all around that was symbolic of both the relationship and the dinner. Yeah, but between the weird innuendos from last week and the pretty interesting metaphors and kind of inspiring metaphors from this week, we're going to keep an eye out for those. And if there's any that we missed, let us know at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter or Facebook. All right, and then related to that, any favorite quotes from you from this episode? I know I already said mine about Morgan wanting to leave town.
My number one best quote, and it was at the dinner party, and it's when Kristen and Steven are fighting, and Steven goes, I think Kristen said, like, what's wrong or something, and then Steven goes, no comprende tú, and I was like, Steven speaks Spanish? And then I had to look it up, because wasn't really sure what no comprende tú meant.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
No comprende is, don't understand.
Yeah.
But that two at the end, I don't think should have been there. At all.
Mm-hmm.
So seems like Steven's not great at Spanish, but he tried.
Now, before we close this off, I wonder if we're going to have a repeat, but we talked about him a lot. Will Postler repeat as your MVP of the week?
No. Sadly, no. He is not my MVP of the week.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to Trey.
Okay.
Just because of the overall, great style, the hustle, and the drive. Holster was a close second.
Okay.
I was going to give it to him, but I didn't think it was fair for how much work Trey put in this episode.
Right. In my opinion, I think we're gonna have to bust out that air horn again, because I completely agree. Trey is also my MVP of the week for all the reasons that you stated, and he seems to be the most down-to-earth one, and I just like his hustle, I like his style, and you know what, he's a good role model. I think if there were any role models on this show, it's Trey and Polster, our two MVPs of the week over the past couple of weeks. But it's time for a little break, and we'll play some games.
And welcome back from that nice little break. Boy, hopefully that you're settled down, because we're playing Today in History.
Oh, man. So last week you had 3 points, so I'm going to have to live up to that.
Yep. I think, my questions are fair, but, might be a little difficult. We'll see.
Oh, man. Okay.
Laguna Beach Season 1, Episode 2, aired on October 5th, 2004. I will be asking you 5 questions about things that happened on that day, and then we'll alternate weeks and see who knows the most about those days at the end of the first season.
Pressure.
So, Martin, ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Question 1. This golfing animal wed on this day to an ex-model years before his inevitable downfall. Who is this person?
I'm going to go with the biggest has-been in all of sports, Tiger Woods.
You, sir, are correct, but also false at the same time.
he's fallen from grace pretty hard.
He still has several green jackets and wins, so that's 1 point. 1 point for you. All right, Marty, question number 2. The Caddyshack lost this funny man on this day in 2004. Who is this person?
2004? Yeah. Is it... Oh, man. It can't be. No, he died... John Belushi died way too early.
And John Belushi was not in Caddyshack.
Yeah, I know. Was he on SNL? I don't know. I'm just going to go and say John Belushi, but that's wrong.
That is incorrect. The Caddyshack actor and funny man, that's the key, was Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, no respect.
No respect. So you're 1 for 2.
Yep.
All right, question number 3. This team lost the Twins 2-0 on this day, but would go on to lose the ALCS to the future world champions in 2004. Who is this team?
Oh, are these your favorite New York Yankees?
The correct answer is the New York Yankees, and not my favorite. My favorite is the 2004 World Championship winning Red Sox. So, thank you, sir.
All right.
Number 4. This celebrated day is for all the influencers of youth. What day is this day?
All the influencers of youth. Is it World Youth Day?
Ooh, close.
Ugh.
It's World Teachers Day.
Oh. I picked the audience and not the influencer.
Yes, yeah, the influencer is the key word.
Yes. Sorry, Mom.
I was thinking about writing something about you putting your mom in there, but
rude. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it'll turn into a yo mama question. Yeah.
All right,
so you are 2 for 4?
Yes.
2 for 4.
1 to tie.
All right. Now this is to tie. Question number 5. This legendary teammate retired from the NBA, but would later retire from his marriage due to future problems.
Is it 2004? Is it?
I can give you a hint on this, but future problems would be one of the keys. I can give you a possible another one.
Is it? It can't be. Is it Michael Jordan?
No. Ugh. Very close. Very close. It was Scottie Pippen.
Ah.
So if you were up on your celebrity news, Scottie Pippen recently divorced from his wife because his wife had an affair with Future.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
And I'm pretty, yeah, Jordan probably retired in like 02 or something.
Yeah.
All right, so that puts you up 1, and next week you're on the hot seat to try and extend your lead.
I'm going 5 for 5.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
I'm going perfect rest of the season.
All right. Get ready for some very obscure questions then.
Yeah. That wraps up today in history. Now going into one more break before we have to say goodbye and sign off.
Sing, oh, 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 light 'em up, light. light her up. Every time I see that girl, I'm on her, light her up, light her up, light her up. Every time I see that girl, I'm on her, light her up. So raise them up, get them hype. Every time you cannot get it, get enough, light her up, light her up. Every time I see that girl, I wanna light her, light her.
Thanks again for listening to the Coming Clean podcast. The song you've been hearing was Light Her Up by Todd Carey from his album Future Throwback. This and songs like the Billboard Twitter number one Nintendo are available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you buy or stream your music. You can find more of him at Todd Carey on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to see him live, he will be at the World Cafe in Philadelphia on January 28th. Find more information about him from ToddCareyMusic.com. Links will be in the description.
And please find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Medium. Please support us on Patreon at patreon.com/comingcleanpod. Or you can email us at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. Or please like and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, that wraps up another great episode. I hope you all had a great time.
I sure did.
And please tune in every Tuesday for new episodes. This is us signing off. I'm Sam.
And I'm Marty. Worldwide peace, y'all.
And always keep it moving.